in. Matthew chapter 10. Our text this morning will begin in verse 8. But let's begin reading in verse 5. We're going to read from verse 5 down to verse 16. Matthew 10, verse 5, it says, "These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat. And into whatsoever city or town you shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide till you go thence. And when you come into an house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whosoever shall not receive you nor hear your words, when you depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves." Last Sunday morning, we looked at the subject of what and why we preach. The Lord called preachers and sent them out to preach. We looked at what and why we preach and what it was to be a true preacher. In the verses that will be our text today, we can see how we preach, how the Lord has instructed us to deliver this message that has been given to us to preach. Our Lord said at the end of verse 8, "Freely give it." He said, "You have freely received it." Didn't cost you anything, physically or spiritually. You have freely received it. You freely give it. Don't make money an issue out of it in any way, shape, or form, which is generally attached with religion, isn't it? Let's get that squared away first, and then we'll move on to the freely give it. Mercy from God is great. Grace is free. It's a free message of a free gift that has already been freely given. And he said, when you go to deliver this free message of free grace, go in the faith of knowing that I'll prepare the way for you. Verse 9, he said, provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses, nor scrip for your journey. A scrip was a lunch sack. It was a sack that they would put things in, mainly food. He said, when you go to deliver my message, you don't need to bring money. You don't need to bring food. He went on to say, you don't need to bring two coats. You don't need to bring an extra pair of shoes or an extra staff. Not because you don't need those things, but because I will provide them for you. That's what the Lord is saying. He said at the end of verse 10, the workman is worthy of his meat, and I'll make sure it's there for you. And I'll get the glory for doing so. So he says, that's how I want you to take my message out. Take it out in faith, looking to me, trusting me for these things. And that's the only way the message of Christ can be taken out and preached, looking to him, trusting him to provide the way for the message, to provide the Spirit to bless the message. We're looking to him in all of it. We're looking to him. When you all called me to come here to pastor, a very dear and wise preacher sat me down and said to me, "You are entering the ministry. Go be in the ministry." That's what he said to me. He said, "You were in business, but that's over. You go be in the ministry." He said, and I remember this, we were sitting in his living room and he said, "If God is in this," and he said, "I believe he is." He said, "If God is in this, he will open every door that needs to be open. And he will provide everything that needs to be provided for. You just go preach." And I can tell you from experience, he was right. He was right. It's now been proven to us. As our Lord said he would, he has provided. He doesn't just do that for his preachers. He does that for all of his people. But the Lord said, "I want you to give this message freely, and I want you to take it out to people in faith, looking to me that I'm going to provide what needs to be provided for." In verse 12, he said, "When you come into a house, salute the house." When you come into a house with the gospel, salute it. And that means draw them near to you. Welcome them, receive them joyfully. It literally means enfold your arms around them, embrace them. He said, when you take this glorious message out, don't hold people at arm's length with it. Receive them. If it's not meant to be, they won't receive you. Verse 14, he said, "Whosoever shall not receive you nor hear your words, when you depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city." He said, if they won't receive you, move on. Move on. He said in other places, "My people gladly receive my word. My people are willing in the day of my power." We don't beg men and women to hear the word of the Lord. That's a command from God. The word goes out and then he will deal with people accordingly. And he said, that's how I want you to handle the message of my word. Handle it with the authority that it has. And if I cause men and women to gladly receive it, declare it to them again. Declare it to them. And if they want to hear it again, tell them again and tell them again. He said, if they reject it, move on. Verse 16, he said, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves." He said, that's how I want you to conduct yourself in the handling of this message that I'm going to send you to preach. So in our Lord's instruction, we've seen what we preach, why we preach, how we preach. And now I'd like for us to spend the rest of our time this morning seeing from our Lord's instruction who we are to preach the message to. I just told you all that because that's the Lord's instruction to us and it needs to be told. But I want us to spend our time seeing who we are to preach his message to by his commission. Our Lord told us plainly right here exactly who his message is to. And I pray that we might really get a hold of this and really understand this. He told us in verse 11, if you look there with me, he said, "Into whatsoever city or town you shall enter, inquire." And that means ask around. Search out. He went on to say, who in it
is worthy.
And there abide till you go thence. The Lord said, my message is only to those who are worthy of it. And that's what I've titled this message. This is a message for those who are worthy of it. And I'm going to go ahead and tell us that some people are and some people are not. Sadly, some people are not. Our Lord told us that right here in verse 13. He said, if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if the house be not worthy, let your peace return to you. So some are worthy of God's message and some are not. Now, this truth has been declared throughout all God's Word. There are so many places that we could turn to where our Lord declared who is worthy and who is not worthy. So many places. He said many times, if a man or a woman does this, or if a man or a woman doesn't do that, he or she is not worthy of me. He gave a parable one time of a wedding, and he told his servants to go bid the guests to come. But he said there was a problem. He said the wedding was ready, but they that were bidden were not worthy. So this is a very serious warning to all men and women. This is very, very serious. All men and women are going to fall into one of two categories. We're either going to be worthy or unworthy. The Apostle Paul told the Corinthians concerning the Lord's table. He said, whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup unworthily is eating and drinking damnation to his soul. Our Lord said in Luke 21:36, watch ye therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man, to stand before Christ. So this is a real condition for people, and it's serious. It's eternal life or eternal death. Serious. We must be counted worthy. This message is only to those who are worthy. Now, understanding that, this is a attention-grabbing subject. Understanding that makes me want to know this right here. Am I worthy? That's all I want to know. I want to know two things. Am I worthy? And are you worthy? I'm inquiring right now. Nobody has the answer, but I'm inquiring right now. Am I worthy? You know, I'm preaching this message, but I'm also hearing this message. This is God's word, not mine. Am I worthy of the message of the gospel? Or after it has been declared to me, will it turn around and walk away? Paul said, I put myself in subjection, lest after I preach the gospel to you, I find myself to be a castaway. Am I worthy? God's message is only for those who are worthy of it. Now, let's find out who they are. All right? We need to right now, as the Apostle Paul instructed, we need to examine ourselves. We need to find out in ourselves, individually, whether or not we're worthy. Now, let me clarify this. The gospel message is, look to Christ. That's the gospel message. Turn your eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the gospel message. Look to the Lamb of God. That's the gospel message. What we're trying to figure out right now is, are we worthy of the gospel message? For one minute here, I I don't like looking at myself, but for one minute here, let's look to ourselves, examine our flesh, examine our being, and we need to know right now whether or not we're worthy of the gospel message. Answer silently within yourself, okay? Our Lord told us who's worthy. As we see this, ask yourself, is this me? It's yes or no. It's that simple. It's just going to be yes or no. Is this me? Our Lord gave five criteria for who is worthy. Are we worthy? All right. The first one is in verse 6. Look at verse 5. It says, "These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." In order to be worthy of God's message, you have to be lost. You have to be. I mean, you have to be. In yourself, in what you see in your own individual person, as you look down just at this for just a minute, are you lost? It's a simple yes or no. It's just yes or no. Are you lost? I'm talking about in your flesh. That's what I'm talking about. Not in another location. I'm talking about in your flesh, based on what you see in yourself. Are you lost? Am I lost? And I'm also not talking about used to be lost. Everybody used to be lost in their own view of themselves. I used to be. I'm not talking about used to be. Right now, spiritually, in this flesh, and I believe this is the best way to understand what this is getting at. Do you see the way to glory in yourself? When you look here, do you see the way to glory? Or when you look here, do you see no spiritual way to glory at all? It's one of the two. If when I look at my flesh, I say, yes, I see a way to glory. Yeah. Then my answer has to be, this has to be the answer. No, I'm not lost. But if when I look right here, I see no spiritual way at all, I mean no spiritual way at all, then my answer has to be, yes, in my flesh, I'm lost. And I mean right now. Still, my condition in myself hasn't changed. There was a period of time before the Lord started dealing with me. I'm still the same way in my flesh. It kills me to say that. But we're getting honest today. We're not putting on a facade today. We're getting honest within ourselves. I'm still exactly the same. If getting to glory is dependent on this right here, I'm lost. If that's our answer, then look with me at Matthew 18. Matthew 18, verse 11 says, "For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost." That's who He came to save. He said, that's exactly who my message is to, the lost. We have to be lost in ourselves. One man made this statement years ago. He said, he was a preacher, a true preacher, and he said, "I'm not trying to get men saved. I'm trying to get men and women lost." Because that's who Jesus Christ came to save. He said, "The Son of Man is come to save that which was lost." Go with me back to Matthew 10. Here's our Lord's second description. Verse 8, he said, heal the sick. In order to be worthy of God's message, you have to be sick. Spiritually sick. The message of the gospel is called the balm of Gilead. And in order to have that balm applied, you have to be sick. You have to be sick. Look at Matthew 9, one chapter before this, verse 12. It says, but when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. What does it mean to be spiritually sick? If we're going to answer the question, and if it's yes or no, what does it mean to be spiritually sick? Look with me, if you would, at Psalm 38. Psalm 38, verse 1. It says, O Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. For thine arrows stick fast in me, and thy hand presseth me sore. There is no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger, neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin. For mine iniquities are gone over my head as an heavy burden. They are too heavy for me. My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long, for my loins are filled with a loathsome disease, and there is no soundness in my flesh. That's what it means to be spiritually sick. When you look at yourself, all you see is a loathsome disease. A loathsome disease. If any person looks at his or her own flesh before God, standing before God, and honestly has to say, I don't see that, which will be quite a few people. If anybody looks at himself or herself after reading that and says, I really don't see that. I don't see a loathsome disease in me. Sadly, be warned, we may not be worthy. The seeking message of the great shepherd is only for the lost. The healing message of the great physician is only for the sick. Only. Go with me back to Matthew 10. Here's our Lord's third criteria. Verse 8, he said, cleanse the lepers. Who is worthy of the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Who is the spotless blood of the Lamb of God that washes white as snow? Who is that blood for? You know, that blood is not going to be wasted. Not one drop of that blood will be wasted. It is not going to be poured over something that does not need to be cleaned. In order to receive that blood, we have to be filthy. We just have to be filthy. We have to be one who can only cry, unclean, unclean. Unclean. From the crown of my head to the sole of my foot, I am nothing but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. Not many people can say that honestly. But if God has revealed to us what we truly are, and if that's the only thing we can cry when we look at ourselves, we're worthy. According to the Word of God, we're worthy. If you see no way to God, you're lost and you're worthy. If you see a disease in you that will not get better, if you keep looking saying, when will it get better? But isn't it supposed to get better? How come it's not getting better? If you see that, you're sick and you're worthy. If all you can cry is, I'm so sorry. I'm so unclean. I am so unclean. You're a spiritual leper and you're worthy. Now, these last two conditions that the Lord gave, these are very serious conditions. But every soul who is truly worthy of the message of God's saving mercy and grace in Christ, every soul will see these two conditions in himself or herself. All right. Verse 8, the Lord said, raise the dead. Are you dead? In your flesh, spiritually, we're talking spiritually. Spiritually dead. Are you dead? Am I dead? That's what it takes to be worthy. You ever feel dead before God? Dead before His worship? Dead before His Word? Dead in trying to pray? Dead in trying to straighten up and fly right? Dead. I'm dead. I feel so dead. You're worthy. That's what it takes to be worthy. When the message comes to us that says you were born into this world dead in trespasses and sins, does that make us want to reject that message and say, don't you ever preach that to me again? Or does that make us want to hit the dust before our Lord and Savior of life like Mephibosheth did before Jonathan, crying, who am I that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? If you have no choice but to say, I am dead before Him, then there will come a time. If that's all you can say, then there will come a time when the dead will hear the word of the Lord, and they that hear shall live. All who are dead before God are worthy. All right, last one. Verse 8, our Lord said, cast out devils. All right, now, honestly, if we have not gotten honest yet, let's do it on this one. Honestly. When you look at yourself, when you take a minute, back up, get an outsider view of yourself, and you look at the thoughts that go through your mind, and you look at the feelings that go through your heart, and you look at the words that come out of your mouth, and you look at the things that you should do but you don't, and the things that you shouldn't do but you do, when you look at that, do you see holiness or evil? People say, well, I kind of see something in the middle. I mean, I don't see holiness, but I don't see evil. I mean, that's pretty strong language. To that, these two things need to be said. Number one, there is no middle ground. There's no middle ground. We are either possessed by God's Holy Spirit or an evil spirit. And I'm talking about in the flesh. There's no middle ground. But number two, if we don't see our evil nature for what it is, we're not worthy. If we say, well, no, I don't see an evil nature, then we're not worthy. I must have His Spirit. Mine's not worthy. Man's wicked. Look with me again at Matthew 9, back one chapter, this time verse 13. It says, "Go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." You know what sin is, really? Do you know what it is? It's the outward evidence of evil. It's evil coming out. That's what it is. Nobody, if you have any heart for the things of the Lord, nobody wants to see sin in themselves. Nobody does. But if you don't have a choice in the matter, but to say, "That's all I see in myself. That's all I really see in my mind and in my heart and in my mouth and in my walk. And that's all I see in myself." If that's the only choice that you have, then you're worthy. You're worthy of the message that Christ, the great shepherd, has sought you. If he says, "I came for the lost," he came for the lost. If you're one of them, he came for you. You're worthy of the message that the great physician has healed you. Christ, the spotless lamb, has cleansed you. Christ, who is our resurrection and our life, has raised you from the dead. And Christ, who is our holiness, has made you to be just like him. I want to be worthy. I want to be worthy of this message. I want to be worthy of this message. All who are, when this glorious word, this shockingly glorious word comes to a soul who sees all this in himself, that'll make that soul forever cry, "Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy. For thou wast slain, and you alone redeemed us to God by your blood. And by your worthiness, you made us to be with you. You made us to be in you. Because of you, we are kings and priests to God. We're not lost and sick and vile and dead devils. We're found, healed, spotless, living, kings and priests. Glory be to you forever. Glory be to you forever." I want to end the message with something that I just recently read. And I'm so glad that I read this. I hope this will bless you, and I hope you can relate to this. All right. I believe this is just an excerpt from a message by Charles Spurgeon. I'm pretty sure he just preached this in a pulpit. Somebody, it was written down and somebody pulled it out. I'm going to just read it as he wrote it. Okay. "During this last week, I have been with Brother Alford," I don't know who that is, "conducting prayer meetings." They used to call Wednesday night service prayer meetings. And Spurgeon was known to preach in different churches throughout the week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. "So during this last week, I've been with Brother Alford conducting prayer meetings. And he told one evening a tale which I made him tell every evening afterwards, for I thought it so good. He said, there was a poor man living on Dartmoor who had been employed during the summer in looking after horses and cows and so on that were turned out on the moor. He was a perfect heathen. A perfect heathen. And never went to a place of worship, perhaps since he was a child. For him, there was no Sabbath. After a time, he grew very ill. He was over 60 years of age. And having nothing to live upon, he went into the workhouse." I don't know what that is. I guess it's assisted living or something. "While he was there, it pleased the mysterious spirit to make him uneasy as to his soul. He felt that he must die, and the old man had just enough light to let him see that if he did die, all was wrong with regard to a future state. He was poor. He was sick. And now he's a sinner. He had a little grandchild who lived in a neighboring town, Plymouth, I think it was. And he asked leave for his grandchild to come in every day to see him. As he was very ill and near death, she was allowed. She came in and he said to her, "Read the Bible to me, dear." She complied, and the more she read, the more wretched the old man grew. "Read it again," said he. The more she read, the more dark his mind seemed to be with a sense of guilt. At last, one day, she came to the passage in the first epistle of John. You know it. "The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." "Is that there?" he asked. "Yes, grandfather," replied the little girl. "That is there." "Is that there?" "Oh, yes, grandfather, it is there." "Then read it again. Read it again." She again read, "The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." "My dear, are you sure it is just like that?" "Yes, grandfather." "Then read it again, dear." "The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." Then he said, "Take my finger and put it on that verse." "Is it on that text, child? Is my finger on that blessed text?" "Yes, grandfather." "Then," said he, "tell them," alluding to his friends, "that I die in the faith of that." And he closed his eyes and doubtless entered into eternal rest. Spurgeon said, "And I will die in the faith of that truth by the grace of God. And so will you, I trust, brethren and sisters, die with your finger on that text. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." That's glorious. Whoever needs that is worthy. All right, Brother Eddie, you come.